National and state officials reacted quickly after terrorists attacked Paris last month. Within days, Governor Pat McCrory and governors across the country were telling President Obama to stop welcoming refugees from the war in Syria. And the House passed a bill to increase requirements for refugees from Syria and Iraq. The measure received some Democratic support and almost unanimous vote from Republicans. North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones was one of two Republicans who voted against the measure, and here to talk to us about that is WNC Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia. Jorge, welcome back.
Hey, good to see you, Frank.
Tell us about this, Congressman Jones. Why did he vote against this bill?
Well, like you just said, this was a bill that moved very quickly through the U.S. House of Representatives. It was introduced and it was voted out of the chamber within the same week, which is much faster than what a lot of bills go through. And he said that it was too hastily put together. And I called him up, we spoke, and I asked him about it, and here's what he had to say.
See, this bill really probably should have been held up for 4 or 5 weeks. This was done for political reasons to help members feel like they had go back home during Thanksgiving and say, we've done something.
All right. So there's Walter Jones, North Carolina's third district, a Republican, saying this was a political bill beginning to end.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a big deal for him to say that because there was a lot of rhetoric, I think, is what a lot of people would call surrounding this issue after the attacks happened in Paris.
So a lot of ways to say, let's hold up, let's check on credentials. Yeah. One way is to cast aspersions and doubt on the refugees. Another is to say, let's just fall back and let the process unfold. Lest you think Walter Jones is soft on refugees, he is not.
No. So he did say this bill shouldn't have passed the way that it did, but it's not that he was saying the bill was too harsh. It was actually the opposite. He was saying this bill, it appears that he was saying this bill wasn't going far enough. I mean, I have a letter here that he sent to the U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan asking him to basically defund the refugee program. So what he said he would have called for would have been a moratorium, so no refugees at all while the House was working on this bill. And then once they drafted on something, then they could go back to allowing people into the country.
As we said, this bill that passed this week in the House, U.S. House of Representatives, did enjoy some Democratic support, but not the support of David Price, a Democrat from North Carolina. What was the minority position on this bill?
Yeah, so I think it's important to highlight that this split the Democratic caucus. I mean, it passed with a veto-proof majority. So there were a lot of people from the Democratic camp who supported this bill. Now, those who were against it are thinking about, one of the things that they're thinking about is the way that this looks. And they're saying that, one, the process that we have is thorough enough, and two, this perhaps is not the very best optics for us. So this is the way that Congressman David Price put it.
What you're talking about here is lending credibility to ISIS's recruiting and propaganda efforts, playing into their narrative, their storyline, that the United States is an enemy to all Muslims, going to close the door.
Democratic Congressman David Price from North Carolina's 4th District. So again, the way we went about this, saying we think these people are unsafe, let's stop them, versus, well, we know this is a long process, so as it continues, why don't we take a look? That might have been a different approach. That's what David Price is calling for. Well, so a political issue in the state, because we know that the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Roy Cooper, has also said we should probably pause before we continue with the refugee resettlement in the state.
He did, and this was actually after the North Carolina GOP asked him to take a stance, whether it was as attorney general, who's the chief law enforcement officer in the state, or if it is as a candidate for governor. And he did that same day last week, he did issue a statement, not as sharply worded as what Governor Pat McCrory has said, but he did say, well, hang on a second. Let's reevaluate this. Let's see if we're being careful enough with this.
All right. Well, in other news around the state, some news this week about a new lawsuit challenging the state's voting rights maps. Let's tell us, find out more about that.
Yes, this is one point in this entire web of lawsuits that we've had over the last 5 years that have to do with voting here in the state. Most recently, the most visible ones that we've had are pertaining to a new law that is about voter ID. But then we've also got some lawsuits, 3 lawsuits total, that have challenged voting maps that the Republican majority drew in 2011, One of them is in the state Supreme Court. Two are in federal courts. This one in particular is a relatively brand new case. It was motivated by a U.S. Supreme Court decision in the spring that struck down the voting maps in Alabama. After that happened, a group of North Carolina voters, a few dozen, filed a suit challenging North Carolina's maps for the General Assembly, State House and State Senate. Now, they're arguing that in about 25 to 30 districts, the lawmakers who drew these maps unfairly and illegally packed minority voters into these 25 to 30 districts, therefore purposefully diluting the political influence of minority voters.
All right, we'll take a look. And in one of the cases, lawyers have asked for an immediate injunction that would halt the new law from going into effect because primaries have been moved up, and so time is of the essence. And
Time is of the essence. We've got candidate filing period. It starts on December 1st. So this three-judge panel, presumably, I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen, but I think they're probably aware of the fact that that this is coming up very soon. So they'd have to make a decision quickly.
Thank you very much, Jorge Valencia. Thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome, Frank.
Jorge is Capitol reporter for WUNC. Just ahead, we're going to talk about how one man's diary chronicles the struggle of Japanese-American families facing internment during World War II. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.